If you want to get your favorite technical news, give Gizmo Gang a call. Gizmo Sapiens.
Hey, and welcome to Gizmo Sapiens Show 177. This is our first show for the month of July.
A bit late for July, but here we are.
With us today is Matt.
Hello.
And Thomas. Who's not, now he's not going to say anything.
Sorry, I'm paying attention to something else for a second.
Is your mic on?
Yeah, it's in on position.
We'll hold it to your face a little closer.
Hello.
Is this working?
Just as we start recording, of course, something goes wrong.
It doesn't go wrong. It's okay. So, I want to talk about something technological that is one of Matt's favorite topics, and that is Microsoft Windows.
Ugh.
He loves Microsoft Windows more than anyone else I know in the universe.
No. I do love Microsoft Windows. It's Windows 10 that has been the bane of my existence.
So do you think Windows 11 is going to be better for you?
No, I do not.
Because what was the thing about Windows 10? You will never have to buy another version of Windows. Because Windows 10 was supposed to essentially just be upgraded, you know, ad infinitum until the end of days. But then they had Windows 10X, which they canceled, and then all of a sudden a lot of the features for Windows 10X are now in Windows 11. Now, I personally have not run the beta for Windows 11 out of the dev channel. I'm a little leery. I ended up getting a new Surface laptop because my Surface Go that I used was not supported by Windows 11. Now, they're backtracking a lot on this because...
A backlash, obviously.
Yes, the backlash for all of the supported hardware only went back to machines that were like 2 or 3 years. Now they're saying that, well, we only tested back 2 or 3 years, so that is the recommended hardware because of drivers and everything else. And then they're throwing all the PC makers and component makers under the bus saying, well, it's up to them to provide Windows 11 drivers for the system. Now, it is a lot more restrictive than it was before. You have to have TPM 2.0, which most modern motherboards have it built into the BIOS, but prior to probably 2017, a lot of TPM meant you had to buy a TPM module, and those are super hard to get. And I'm not entirely sure. A lot of the things, the reason they have such high hardware requirements in relative terms is because the TPM module and Secure Boot are to keep attack vectors from getting into the boot process. And then supposedly they're going to do something that every other major OS, Mac OS X, Linux, or Mac OS X, or Mac OS now.
Because
it's no longer Mac OS X, it's Mac OS X.
I'm still being picked up correctly, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Linux and everything else have been, they've done things essentially like even more back in 99, 2000, we had what was called Jailing.
Which they got from BSD.
And BSD, which, takes a process or a service and it puts it in its own essentially jailed container or virtual machine. And so Microsoft is finally coming to that age where they're supposedly doing that with processes. The thing is, as far as I can tell, is that they still haven't gotten rid of the registry. And the registry is still going to allow, if you have a single flat file database that has access to users,
Well, that's the problem. The registry, essentially, for the longest time, they've kept this for quote-unquote compatibility, and yet they really haven't kept compatibility 100% all the way back to, like, Windows 3.11 3.1 days. So it's entirely a lie.
Running Windows, or running anything earlier than Windows 7 on a Windows 10 machine today, and I can't imagine Windows 11 being better.
It's pretty much impossible unless you download some sort of utility from Microsoft.
The compatibility modes just don't handle those applications anymore, because a lot of the dynamic link libraries and all of that were, you know, they've become obsolete, so they're no longer part of the OS that a lot of the older applications need. And that's why you run a virtual machine with Windows 95 in it if you want to run, you know, a Windows 95 game.
Or you use Linux with Wine.
Yeah.
And Proton.
Yeah. But...
And DXVK. There's, like... It's literally pointless at this point to try and use modern Windows to run old Windows apps, because it was just an excuse for Microsoft for why they kept the registry in DLL hell.
So, now, all my Windows machines I've checked, except for my Surface Go, are new enough that they'll run Windows 11, and they all get the upgrade for free, which will be nice.
I'm going to keep Windows 10 on my Samsung laptop for the longest time until
support for that runs out. Yeah, I mean, Windows 10 is still supported till 2025. But
yeah, and so I'm pretty much, as soon as 2025 is over and they stop support for Windows 10, I'm just removing that drive and swapping it in with a new drive so that this can be a fully Windows machine.
By that point, your Samsung, you'll probably have something newer, I would be assuming. I mean, it's 2021 now. You've had that machine for a year. It'll be 4 years older in 2025.
It's not like you're me, who runs technology. I get it when it's old, and I kill it.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like me in cars.
Of like old age.
Until the wheels fall off, and you can't put them back on anymore.
I mean, as long as I can still play modern software and games on this thing, I don't think I'm going to get rid of it.
Yeah.
It's still a Ryzen 5 2500U. It can do Vulkan graphics on it just fine.
Yeah. I mean, and you're a good example of that. I mean, you have that Core i3 machine that you run Windows 10 on, which you have always complained was the bane of your existence because, you know, you had bought, what was it, Avid Media Composer?
Yeah, it was, yeah, that's what they call it now, yeah. I suppose. At the time it was called Studio.
Yeah, you know, for doing live streaming and video and stuff like that, and it was broken after Windows 10, even though it said it was compatible after their check. Now, I don't defend Microsoft very often, but I will defend them in this case.
You're gonna tell me that that's Avid's fault. Well, and I'm gonna tell you Microsoft's checker should have told me that before I upgraded. That was the whole point of running the checker.
Yes, I will agree with that. I mean, that it should
because
have been,
I didn't ever upgrade it.
Well, it should have been. Yeah, it should have never. But I would have said probably if I had known.
In fact, I would have taken that machine off the internet.
Yeah.
That's how much I was willing to preserve the OS so that I could run that software.
Now, was that a Windows 7 machine or a Windows 8 machine when you got it?
Windows 7. I think it was Vista, actually.
No.
It was a 7.
I think it's probably Windows 7.
Yeah. Windows 7, more accurately.
Because, I mean, it is what? It's a 2009? I mean, when I looked up the processor, I think that's when the discontinuation date on it was 2009. So, I mean, you've certainly gotten your mileage out
of that machine. I've gotten my usage out of it.
Yeah.
But to me, it's still fun to smack Microsoft around.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time I get a chance, because that's still the main machine that I run.
Yeah.
I smack around Microsoft plenty of times in my own home, even with Xbox, because it just, now, especially with the Series X, and their always online DRM scheme, in which they got so much backlash with the Xbox One consoles that they said they would never do it. And here we are in 2021 with the next generation after the Xbox One, they're doing it. Despite the fact that they said they wouldn't.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny, so I am considering putting Windows 11 on my Surface laptop.
So, what's new? I mean, why would someone do that?
Part of it's
little to
at this point.
Part of it's lipstick on a pig.
Well,
they are adding Amazon Android App Store support, so you can run apps from the Amazon Android App Store on Windows 11. But that's really pointless, considering there's plenty of other systems you could easily do this with by just using ARM emulation and a variety of other stuff. And people have already done stuff like Android for x86 hardware.
Yeah. It would be a bigger coup but Microsoft and Google are butting heads, you know, over many fronts right now, particularly now that Biden canceled the Jedi contract and Microsoft lost $10 billion in federal funding. And that was because Google and Amazon had both complained that, you know, why are you sole sourcing this to Microsoft? Now, I could argue both sides of that and could see it. I do think it's very short-sighted, because when you work for an OEM in the IT industry or almost any other industry and you're selling to the government, they require you to have two sources. So, like, I used to work for Hitachi, and we sold storage systems, and we had to have two sources for the hard drives. So our systems would come with either a Seagate or the equivalent Western Digital, because those are two sources so that if a supply chain thing happened and you couldn't get, you know, the government needed storage and you couldn't get the hard drives from your single source vendor and they couldn't get upgrade their storage that they had purchased from you, you know, they were SOL, or they wouldn't be SOL if you had a single. I agree. I don't understand why they would have awarded Microsoft that cloud contract without, you know, also awarding it to a second vendor so that, you know, there was a secondary source if something should happen. So you
don't they still have, or is this part of the Jedi contract? I'm confused. Don't they, is it a separate contract or part of the Jedi contract that they started selling HoloLens to the military?
I believe that's a separate contract.
I was going to say that, if it was part of Jedi, then it would have been probably a good thing, because
as part of my
Windows
job,
Windows running on HoloLens probably is just as buggy and, you know, unstable as all get out on HoloLens when it comes to critical applications. It has the registry and DLL,
but the idea of what they're selling HoloLens for right now, and let me come back to that, but, you know, it's the whole Jedi contract thing that was a big coup for Microsoft, and what I think is funny is a lot of people have, you know, said that this is the newer, nicer Microsoft with Satya Nadella as the CEO, but if you watch the keynote for Windows 11, he pretty much was poking at Google and Apple and, you know, everywhere. It was no nicer than it usually was. And as far as I can tell, I mean, there's probably some under-the-hood things that matter going forward. Again, like the security things that I was saying about the fact that they want to do, you know, put applications in containers or virtual machines to isolate them to keep you from infecting your machine so easily. That's a good thing. But, I mean, the things that people are going to notice are they changed the GUI, and now you can have the dock in the middle, which makes it look more like Google Chrome or
Chrome OS.
Or Chrome OS and Mac OS. You know, it has a new look, because, again, that's how we differentiate operating systems in the 21st century is this one has rounded corners and this one has square corners in the windows, which to me is kind of pointless. There are some other neat little productivity features that, but, you know, I don't say that they're a make it or break it, and they're things that both macOS and Linux have had that, you know, for several years now. It's not like they're new features for, so it's kind of like a catch-up game for them. I'm sure some haters I wish we had some haters who would make some comments and give us some feedback going, those guys don't know what they're talking about. But I've watched a lot of YouTube videos from people like us, you know, who are in the industry, and from people who are you know, well known as like Leo Laporte and other people who've talked about it, and they're all scratching their head, and you know, one of the conspiracy theories around this, because
Well, one of the conspiracy theories is that Microsoft is in on this with Intel and certain manufacturers to try and get people to buy new hardware.
Well, Microsoft doesn't make any money on Windows, the desktop operating system.
But they make money, very little of it at this point, because, you know, Windows is hardly the majority of their business anymore. They make part of their money by selling to OEMs, and they get a piece of every single machine that an OEM sells.
Well, every new PC, they get, you know, I don't know what their margin is, but they get like $35 from an OEM who's, you know, made a PC, or, you know, is building a PC and puts Windows on it. And evidently, you know, when they brought out Windows 10, and the requirements for Windows 10 were no different from the requirements for Windows 8, a lot of people, you know, are like you, Matt, and they didn't upgrade. You know, no, if it'll run it, why do I need a new PC? And so that angered a lot of the PC makers and Intel at the time, because they didn't get the, you know, the upgrade economy or economics that you would get from, you know, new PC sales because of a new version of Windows.
Unless there's collusion between Microsoft and the PC makers.
Well, it's, again, a conspiracy
which
theory.
There is.
Yeah.
Why should Microsoft care if Dell can't make make any money on a new PC because they went from Windows 8 to Windows 10.
Well,
now,
here's the reason why Microsoft cares.
Well, they get their little kickback out of that, which is
not just a kickback, but then that forces Dell and the other PC makers, Lenovo, and Dell's probably the one who's done the most of it, but they offer new SKUs that don't sell Windows, but they sell Linux on them, and they support it. And Microsoft doesn't want that. They want to keep their monopoly in the x86 marketplace.
At the same time, also even then, with them selling their Linux SKUs, they're not doing a very good job. Yeah. Arguably, they should be selling them
frankly, if Microsoft wants to maintain that monopoly, they need to put out a better product.
Absolutely.
But they never will.
The problem with putting
their
out a better...
Their heads are so far up their own rear ends that they never will. They're not going to go and look at what Linux and Mac is doing as Unix-like systems and be like, well, the registry and, you know, DLLs are some of the most, you know, biggest backdoors that we've been including for the longest time. And although we can only, although we can secure it even more to a certain degree, and especially with Windows Defender, we should just scrap this.
Well,
and just,
I'll tell you,
do a backwards compatibility.
The biggest issue with Windows is
by just having a virtual registry and a virtual thing for the DLLs, so that way every individual application can be fully sandboxed by just having a virtual registry. Won't do that.
But no, I mean, it would be easier than having a virtual registry if you had separate configuration files for each service and then sandbox that. You could easily, and that's,
I know, but I'm talking about for backwards compatibility.
But that's 20 years old. Well, that's the thing. They want to maintain all this backwards compatibility.
Which is a BS argument, and I'll tell you why. When they did that nonsense with Windows 10, and they told everybody, hey, you have to upgrade or else, just do that again. There's no reason not to. The people that want to run the older OS will continue to run the older OS.
Yeah, it's...
I didn't need support at that point. In fact, every time Microsoft updated Windows 8, caused more problems for me.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, that's the same argument with vaccinations. I understand that I may be exposing myself to these risks by not upgrading. I choose not to upgrade. You know? Or do I go around and knock door to door? You must go to Windows 10.
See, now, at this point, are there viruses that even target Windows 8 anymore?
Yes, because, frankly, so, I mean...
As long as Windows has a massive amount of adoption in the marketplace, people are always going to target it.
Well, it's just like there's a ton of ATMs out in the world today that are...
Still running on Windows XP.
Running Windows XP.
Windows Server 2003, which is a server enterprise version of XP.
But those are going to be targeting financial institutions. The exploits will be very radically different.
Yes and no. I mean, the same exploit that they use on the on an ATM running Windows XP is the same exploit that they would try to get, you know. And what happens a lot of time is that people, you know, hackers are not interested in the everyday Joe who's using a Windows XP computer.
My point.
Yes. They just happen through happenstance because the way a lot of these exploits work, and since ATMs and things are connected to the internet, they spread, and so people get infected with them. And I don't think, you know, yes, a hacker might get financial information that you have, but, you know, they're not interested in, you know, unless they have thousands and thousands and thousands of Social Security numbers and credit card numbers and all of that. Nobody's interested in buying those on the black market as an individual, unless you're specifically going after a specific individual. Kind of like what happened with the Bidens and their Venmo accounts, you know?
To which, how stupid are you to be a president and have a Venmo account tied to transactions that could also incriminate you with your own son?
Well, I'm not going to talk about that on this episode of the podcast, but... but, you know...
I'm just proving a point here.
But, you know, it's that type of thing that happens. A lot of people get infected with malware and viruses, which what's really weird is, you know, the virus as we come to know it on Windows, which doesn't require, a lot of times does not require end user interaction other than, you know, I went to a website and it downloaded something in the background, or those don't exist for a lot of operating systems, you know, particularly Unix, Linux operating systems. Typically, you get Trojans, which require social engineering to get somebody to give admin privileges to install it. It's what happens, you know. And I would say probably today, that is the largest vector for people getting infected with malware, is they unknowingly allow or unknowingly install something because, you know, like the old Internet Explorer days, occasionally you still see it. You get a pop-up window that'll come up and it'll say, you know, the last one I saw was on somebody's cell phone, and it was really clever what had happened. What they had done is they convinced the person to install or to subscribe to a calendar, and then that they were adding events to the calendar that would come up and say, your iPhone has been compromised with malware, and you need to, you know, click this web link to get all, and so, you know, it was a social engineering thing. His phone was not infected because you can't infect a phone that way, but most people would look at that
and freak out. Unless you have a limited amount of intelligence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of that, you remember, used to, in the old Internet Explorer days, you'd get those pop-up windows that would come out and say, your PC has been infected by a virus. Click here to enable antivirus protection, then it would take you to a website, which then they would convince you to install their free antivirus product, which then infected your machine. You know, it was a Trojan. Or how about all the... Even today, if you download certain applications that are true legitimate freeware applications. A good one example is, and it's a phenomenal application, but FileZilla. If you're not careful which downloader you pick off of GitHub for FileZilla, one of them includes a stupid Google toolbar, and it installs it on your computer. I mean, yeah, that toolbar is not malware, but it's certainly collecting information on you so that they can target ads and do all kinds
of
things.
It's a PUA or PUD, potentially unwanted program or application.
Yeah. And you know, to me, it's the same thing. You know, we used to, you know, it's become a meme and a joke in the IT industry, but, you know, there was a time when you would go to somebody's Windows 95 and 98 machine and you know, there would be all this adware on their machine, you know, three or four toolbars and in the, you know, web browser and you know, all of these little pop-up things in the Windows tray and all this other stuff. And it was super annoying to, you know, people go, my computer's running slow. Well, it's running slow because there's 5 million applications running at startup. You know, don't install this crap. And, you know, and that, hence why, that actually was the beginning of, you know, security policies and why people moved to Windows NT. Because then, you know, administrators could stop people from arbitrarily installing stuff without administrator permissions, which they couldn't get because you were now on a Active Directory domain, not on a, or a Windows NT domain, rather than being on a, you know, a, just the local accounts on the machine. So, but, so let me look at a couple other things here.
I want a free iPod.
So, I mean, going back to the Windows 11 thing, so one of the big concerns, and we kind of touched on that, is that this, you know, whole idea of orphaning a whole bunch of hardware because people, you know, don't want to... I mean, and that's kind of one of the things about electronics, you know, particularly as people age and they don't need a computer to do, you know, everyday work, where they don't work in a technical field or a design field where you're using, you know, software that requires very, very high performing computer technology. You know, people just surf the web and you know, occasionally they want to do TurboTax and things like that. And so there are a lot of computers that live out there in the world, which have, the reality of it is they've long outlived their what the vendor or the OEM considers the lifespan of the product, but which people continue to use. And so the idea is that, you know, Windows 10, and because they're not, they're limiting the hardware that they're officially supporting, you're going to orphan, you know, millions of PCs out there. And because of that orphaning of these PCs, you know, it's going to have this huge security issue. So, I can't explain it. I mean, you know, and part of it is reactionary. You know, a lot of these security people, they're thinking of, they take the things that are security concerns from enterprises and banks and, you know, the financial industry you know, all the industries that now are computerized, and they apply them to individuals. Like, just because Joe Schmo is still running Windows 10 in 2026, you know, he's super vulnerable to X, Y, and Z. You know? And again, even then, you have to look at it too, because I would say a majority of computer users are people who buy super cheap computers on Black Friday like every 3 or 4 years, which are typically underpowered, and but they use them for 3 or 4 years, and then they go buy a new underpowered one, you know, for $100 to $200 on Black Friday.
Or they use them for, you know, 10 or 12 years until they die, which is what I do.
They get used for 10 or 12 years because what happens is the one who's the tech person in the house goes and buys every 2 or 3 years, 3 or 4 years, you know, a new low-end computer on Black Friday, and then they pass their previous one down to somebody else who's not so technologically adept but might need a computer. I mean, I watch it happen with kids. You know, now that kids are required to have a device for school, whether it's a Chromebook or it's a Windows laptop or a Mac or whatever, you see that happening even with low-end devices. You know, this $100 Chromebook that somebody bought that's been dropped 6 times and the case is broken, but the screen, it still seems to boot and the screen works. You know, the youngest kid's going to start, you know, 3rd or 4th grade when they start needing those, and that's the machine they get because, you know, the older kids have gotten newer machines because they have to do more stuff at school. And there's a huge resale market for Chromebooks because of that. You know, I need one for school, but I'm so cheap I don't want to pay the $100, $99 for one. I'll pay $50 for one, you know. And a lot of people, and I'm not making fun of those people. I mean, people who are frugal with their
money. Well, no, I mean, there are people who literally can't. They can't afford
the
more. Difference yeah. between a $50 and a $100 purchase is food on the table.
Yeah, no, I get that, but I'm also there's a lot of frugal people out there, and the best way to keep your money is to be frugal. You know, so they're always looking for a bargain, you know, in that kind of thing. So, well, I think we've kind of beat that to the nth degree. I do want to say is one of the other things is, too, that's lipstick on the pig of Windows 11 is that the blue screen of death will no longer be blue. It will be black.
Nice. See, because, they're making so many improvements.
Yes. In a way,
it's a major improvement.
Well, in a way, it's better, in my opinion. At least black is a connotation of your machine's dead.
Of course it would be dead. You're running Windows. You're not running any actual system that's genuinely worth running.
Yeah. So, we want to hear from you. Please send us some feedback to gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's gizmosapiens@gmail.com. And we'll see you on the digital flip side.
Gizmo Sapiens, a technology and entertainment podcast. You can reach us at our email address at gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's gizmosapiens@gmail.com. We'd really love to hear from you, and we'll see you next week from the digital flip side.